We're doing the Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Shin Chafchet. The Shaar, the main topic is Shaar HaSinah. We're talking about hatred. And now the Magen Midovna had discussed that there are two main causes for hatred, one of which is jealousy. And he continues on page Shin Chafchet, Otzot Me'atzorech Ladad. Another thing we need to know is, and this will be a cure, an embalmment for you to remove all illness of jealousy, and what develops from jealousy. We know the world has day and night, and each one was granted the strengths that fit it. The day with its strengths, the night with its strengths. El hayom natan koach haor. God gave day the strength of light, the koach hachoshech el halayla, and the strength of darkness was given to the night. Va'ok vo ne'emar bo ve'yar Elokim to'or ki tov. And with regards to light, it says God saw the light ki tov. That light is good. Va'choshech uzman lechol po'alei ra. And the darkness is the time when all those who do evil act. Kemamar, as the verse says, Botirmos kol chay toyar. In the darkness of the night is when the wild animals of the forest trample, they hunt their prey. Uvo matzlichim kol hamazikim, and that's when those who want to inflict harm, that's when they're most successful. Im aruchot, im achayot araot, be it the different spirits, be it the different dangerous animals. Mankind too, be it thieves, be it people who forcefully steal. As the verse says, etc. As Job describes the thief who breaks into people's houses at night. And day and night, each has their task, and you don't find them jealous of one another. Each one gives its song to the Creator, thanking God for its portion. Just as the light is the fitting thing for the day, so too the darkness is what's fitting for night. And the idea is as follows. The day cannot be successful. The day cannot produce what it's supposed to produce without having light. And it has its own tasks, and they're separate from the darkness. If suddenly it gets dark, then the day is not going to be productive the way it should. But by the same token, the night cannot serve its creator unless you have darkness at night. Guys, this might seem like a simple concept, what we're reading now. It happens to be one of the most important concepts we can learn here. One of the big issues that our generation has is that we are constantly frustrated with ourselves. We have a perpetual disappointment with our accomplishments or lack thereof. We have continuous frustrations as we wish we were different, we wish we could do different, we would like to be somewhere else. We would like to be someone else. We would like to have accomplished what we see others accomplishing. And we have a very hard time coming to terms with our own responsibilities and our own accomplishments and our own capacities. It's very understandable that a person who's born without legs wishes he could run. And yet you try to explain to him, if you're going to spend your life wishing you could run, you're going to be very frustrated. You have other strengths, you have to use them and be happy with the accomplishments you can accomplish. But by the same token, each of us has our realm, our area where we should be productive, and very often we are, yet we're displeased. And one of the reasons we are displeased is because we keep looking around and we develop expectations of ourselves that are unrealistic. And so we have constant disappointments. And we have aspirations that are unrealistic, and that prevents us from being happy with our own lot. If we look at day and night, so then one would think, of course, the night wishes it were day. And the Magen Midovna says, no, there are things that have to happen at night, and there are things that have to happen by day, and each one was granted the tools to accomplish what they're supposed to accomplish. I can tell you that in my life, this is one of the great challenges, personally. This is something I work on constantly. I'm always trying to accomplish more, always thinking I should be accomplishing more, and it's a mistake. Because if we'd be realistic, we could be calmer, and then we'd accomplish more. If we could come to terms and be happy with what we've accomplished thus far, then we would go about life with greater tranquility, with greater inner peace. And life is more rewarding that way, and then we actually accomplish more. Yeah?
You said in our generation there's this problem. Is this solely in our generation?
I don't think it ever was as harsh as it is today. I don't think it... That today we even call them overachievers, and that's not a correct term. You have to achieve what you have to achieve. You don't have to overachieve. Chazal teaches tafasta merube lo tafasta. If you try to accomplish too much, you won't get anything. And very often we try to accomplish too much. Yeah?
Just in this generation, modern times, you never had someone on television telling you if you don't get your wife this, you're not a good husband. If your kids don't go to this campus thing, you're less. So the pressures, I think, of to be something else sort of used to be. I think, you know, the values were somewhat more shared, and your father did this for a living, you did this for a living. So I think you could easily become more frustrated today and taking that. But the other side of the coin is where the conflict seems to arise, because we shouldn't be complacent. If Hashem gives us a gift, we should take pleasure in it and value it. But it's very hard to know if we're living up to our potential with the way
right.
We read. So it's that real balance is to you don't want to be frustrated, but you know, I've also had periods, I can say personally, where, yeah, Hashem will understand, I'm doing good enough. That's not good either.
So, granted, but you're...
It's getting the balance that's, I think, tricky.
Yeah, I just think our generation tends to go the other way.
I agree. I for sure. And the way he starts out about envy causing hatred, huge. I mean, that's another reason all the other people talk about, to be a little key in life. And
did they used to have grades in school?
What?
Did they used to have grades in school?
As far as I know, not. As far as I know, you advanced. What I understood, again, from what I learned in elementary school history, remember, you had a classroom setting where everyone was studying together, and when you advanced, you moved to the next class. It wasn't a factor of age. It was a factor of your understanding. Meaning the teacher taught a bunch of rows, and when you advanced from this row to the next one, you moved on. Then again, in Jewish schools, things were a little different. But okay, back to the Magen Midovna.
When you're older, you realize people have different gifts. But when you're a 6-7-year-old, and one little snot nose gets every prize, it makes the little guy feel terrible. You know, that's a fine line. When you're older, you understand. Like people have different gifts, and.
I think it's also a huge focus of parents in the modern world, is to make sure that their kids, that's one of the ways that they take pride in their kids, is to make sure that they're getting the best grades. And that's the conflict that you see.
Lucky enough to have enlightened parents.
People are called overachievers, aren't called overachievers by their parents or by them, they're called it by everyone else in the class.
The parents are doing the job, I get it. They say, thank Hashem, you got some good genes in your work. But not every parent does. Some parents make the kid feel like he's Moshe Rabbeinu.
כמו שכוח האור יפה לבחינת יום לעבודתו, כן הלילה יפה לו החושך לעבודתו, שנמרא בכוונה מכוונת אצל הבורא יתברך. Just as light is correct for the day, so too darkness is correct for the night. Each one has their purpose. וגם איננו רואות פעולת היום בעולם הזה, העובדה והגיעה וכל מסע ומתן. We see that by day you have to do business, you have to work, you have to have commerce. ושערי עסקים איש את ריאו ואיש את אחיו. People interact by day. They need the light. Uvchinat lailo v'udata ba'olam hazeh. And at night, in this world, you have hamnucha v'ashena. That's when you rest. That's when you sleep. Umtziut ha'terf l'chayot ha'yar. That's when the animals of prey go out and hunt. והתבודדות האדם מחבריו בדברים אשר לא יגמור כי אם בהסתר וביחידות. And people need seclusion. People also need some private time. And there are things that a person wouldn't accomplish unless he had that time when he could actually go home, close the door, in our day and age, shut the phone. And here we have to go on a tangent. I want to share with you one piece of advice that's maybe the best advice I've ever given. It's advice that I received when we got married. And it's advice that I tell every couple when they get engaged and when they're on the verge of getting married. And it goes as follows. When you get married, so at night, you come home at night, shut all the phones. Shut the computer, shut the phones. No cell phone, no Skype, no house phone. And I tell couples, I would tell you to do it for a month, but you won't listen to me. It sounds extravagant to take a whole month. So do it for 2 weeks. And I guarantee that after you have 2 weeks where the first 2 weeks of marriage, you come home at night and you shut all the phones and then you just have time together, the two of you, you'll decide on your own to do it for a month. You'll see that it's worthwhile. I got this piece of advice and I didn't heed it. And so the morning after the wedding, our wedding night, it snowed. It was complicated to get out of the hall. We come home, it's like 2, 3 in the morning. And the next morning, at 6 o'clock in the morning, the phone rings. So, I didn't go answer, but later in the day, it was someone interested in a shidduch. So, okay, I don't know why they called 6 o'clock in the morning. We got married in Tevet, and I decided, okay, time to take that piece of advice. I put a voicemail and I said, thank you for calling. Things are a bit hectic. We just got married. We will not be listening to our messages until Tu Bishvat. Okay, a month later. When Tu Bishvat came, so my in-laws and everyone close to us said, okay, so now you're listening to messages? I said, yes. And I put on a new voicemail that said, thank you for calling. Things are a bit hectic. We won't be listening to our messages till Purim. Month later. And in Purim I made Pesach, and by then people got the hint. Why am I saying this? Because we sometimes feel bound to the phone. The idea that he just said, even though it's an example, it has an important message to it. Very often we don't even have that seclusion. We come home and our cell phone is still ringing. You go to the bathroom, you hear people in the public bathroom, they have to answer their cell phones. Why? What happened? I have an issue with doctors who answer their cell phones when treating patients. Because I said to one doctor, you want to tell me you never answer it in the bathroom? And explain to me exactly how you sterilize your cell phone after you come out of the bathroom. So you might be washing your hands clean when you come into the patient, but when you touch that cell phone, you're touching all the germs. But coming back to this idea, the Magen Midvashna says, the nighttime is a time for seclusion. It's a time where you should have private, quiet time at home. And that's why I encourage people, not only the first month of marriage, there should be a time when your phones go off, where you turn off the phones and you have time to be with the family. You sit down for dinner, be with the family. My great-grandfather used to have, my great-grandmother used to have a saying, people would come to the door. He was the representative for the Rebbe of Radomsk in his town, so Hasidim would very often come to him. And when they'd come to the door and they were eating supper, so my great-grandmother would say, I'm sorry, he's dead. So they'd say, really, when did he die? And she'd say, when supper started, he dropped dead. And when supper will be over, that's when he's going to come back to life. But right now, there's no one to talk to. He's dead. There's no one to talk to. Goodbye. This was a rule in their house that even though people came knocking at the door, there was a time when he had to be with the family and people couldn't disturb. Today, you see parents picking up their kids from gun, they're on the cell phone. The whole walk home, they're on the cell phone. They're sitting with the kids in the park, they're on their cell phone. They're on the bus, they're on the cell phone. So when are you with the kids? When are you with your spouse? On Hanukkah, I went out with my wife. And we sat down, we looked at the tables around us. We saw whole families sitting at the table and everyone's on their iPhone. It was mind-boggling. You look around you and you see people who went to sit and talk. They went out together and they're all with their phones. The Magen Midvarna says the nighttime is important so that we walk away from the world, we come home, and we have that quiet time. If you don't create it, you won't have it. In today's day and age, it doesn't happen unless you create it. So coming back again, the Magen Midvarna said it as an example. We went on a tangent. And he says, another thing you could use the nights for is also ha'itbonenut beyirato. A person needs time if you want to think about God. So then you need time alone to think about him. Think about what your role in his world is and what his role in your life is. Va'itatzmut bidveikuto. If a person wants to connect to Hashem, if he wants to strengthen his connection, you got to take some time. And that's one of the reasons why we have the nights to work on it. Or many other good things that the night is good for. There are many things you cannot get done unless you take time to yourself. And there, the night is a blessing. People aren't out and about, and you have that time to build. So we understand where he's headed. I think we're out of time. We have to go on to the other works. But his point is we have to learn from nature that we all have different traits, and that's normal, and that's acceptable. And we have to learn to work with what we were given and understand that that's a blessing, even though what we were given is very different than what others were given. We were given strengths and weaknesses, but that's fine. That's perfectly fitting for our task in this world. I would add one more point, which is, I think, very important for this yeshiva specifically. When I was a youngster, I studied many things. I wasn't sure I was going to be religious, so I studied alternative medicine, I studied martial arts, I studied magic, I studied languages, many things. There were many things that interested me. And I went into a lot of things. And then when I started getting interested in learning, so I dropped the photography and everything I was doing, I put on the wayside and focused on learning Torah. And I was once talking to my mother and I said, you know, I regret all those hours I spent on all the other things that I studied. So many things that I spent time on, and I could have spent the time learning. I could have been somewhere else today. And my mother said to me, don't look at life that way. Everything you studied beforehand enriches what you'll do in the future. It's a part of who you are, and it's a part of what you'll give over with all the Torah that you learn. And I think that's an important perspective, because when a person does tshuva, sometimes a person can look back at everything they did beforehand and say, I wish it were different. And that's a legitimate feeling. At the same time, we should be able to take all of those experiences and use them to move our life forward, to enrich the Torah that we have and the messages we can give our kids and our families. We shouldn't just look at it as a handicap. We should also look at it as a strength. At the end of the day, we do have that knowledge. We do have that time that we've invested in other areas, and we should use that in moving forward and see the strength in that. At the end of the day, now we have to take what we've accomplished, what we've learned, and learn to apply it within our Torah life, not just to turn away from it.